I think they get the picture.
They probably do. But here we go. Welcome to Live Fire Media Show, episode number, was it 20? Shit, also no, there's a 21.
21, man. 21.
Yeah, episode 21. We talk about guns, gear, games, movies, music, so much more. Tonight, your hosts are the always entertaining, sometimes FUD, or he says always FUD.
Oh, way worse now, but yeah.
Hunter Elliott of Range Hot. Yeah. I'm Kwaka 47, a.k.a. Dave from High Point.
A.k.a. Iron Man.
That's true, Am. I am Iron Man.
The heartless, soulless bastard.
So kick back and hang out for a few while we ramble on for a bit. So, yeah, coming off last week, I was heading down to Goals, and we had my dear friend Tony Simon on, who I think you thoroughly enjoyed
yes. meeting him. Yes, I like him whole bunches.
I seriously can't believe how many years I've known the two of you. I've not had you guys meet together in person, like at SHOT or NRA or any damn show. But, hey, I'm glad it's finally.
We're going to remedy that this coming up year, I guarantee you.
Oh, it's going to be absolutely a riot.
I promise you.
But now here's a real trip, though, man. So we did that show Wednesday, and then I left Thursday. He was already down in Knoxville for Goals. I left Thursday then for Goals. So I ended up having dinner and drinks with him Thursday night. Then I had happy hour and drinks with him Friday night. And then dinner with more friends and some listeners of We Like Shooting Friday night.
And this was the days following our Wednesday.
Yeah. So, like, okay. You know, we hung out Wednesday night. Night, buddy. We hung out Wednesday night on here doing this.
Yeah.
Then Tony and I hung out Thursday night for dinner, drinks with friends. Then Tony and I hung out after the show Friday for a happy hour. Then dinner and drinks with more friends. And then Saturday night after the show, we went to GunCon, had their own panel where they talked about, you know, this year's GunCon, what happened. And had guys like Johnny B, who got kicked out of GunCon because of some political BS. We sat and listened to their panel. And then afterwards, we hung out with that whole crew and went to dinner. So it was like Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, hanging out. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
You got to spend a lot of time. Did he bring up the podcast?
Oh, he solicits more than I do. We were hanging out with some of the We Like Shooting listeners at this bar joint. It was like a pool hall with food. And Bob from Gideon Optics, awesome dude. He'd got this thing whole arranged, and it was all just hanging out. And some of the listeners, talking to a couple of them, they're like, well, what's your podcast? And I was like, oh, it's Live Fire Media Show. I was like, it's a real shit show. And they subscribed. I was like, hey, sweet, cool, at least YouTube-wise. It's like, more listeners. Woohoo!
Every little bit helps, right?
Yeah, right. Still working out kinks on the Fire News Radio Network. I don't know why every time I hit submit, nothing's getting uploaded, and I've just been working with Krista on that, and I don't know. Got to figure that shit out. But Goals, man. Goals 2025. Now, I didn't go to the Goals show last year, which was their first year, and apparently from last year to this year at the same facility in Knoxville Convention Center. Cool show, man. Like, very much like a smaller NRA, but I don't say more laid back, but it kind of was a more laid back show.
Okay.
Because like everybody was just super cool. Everybody was super chill. When you got to break out of your booth, go talk to the manufacturers, everybody was cool and wanted to have fun with you. One of the ones, shit, I don't have it. Oh, well. One of the ones I met was the guys across from me from Fat Tack Holsters. So they do appendix kit. Well, I should say inside the waistband holsters. But the cool thing about it is I'm going to hold up like the wrong holster here. This is a T-Rex sidecar. So it's built one way for right-handed draw. But the guys at Fat Tack, they've got dual holes all the way down on both sides of the holster. So basically you could switch it from left to right hand on the fly. But also, with these holes all the way down, you can set, like, your depth. Like, this thing has a little bit of play because you have two holes there and there's another hole. So you can make a little adjustment on the depth of how this is sitting in your waistband. But this Fat Tack, dude, you could go, like, super, super deep. You could have it riding higher. A lot of customization to their holsters.
Super deep in the hole is the way to be if you can pull it off.
More ways than one, man. More ways than one.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, what?
But yeah, but so yeah. If you went on the kind of inside the waistband, typically appendix. I think how most of them were carrying them. While they by default didn't have like a wing rig like this for another magazine, they offer it, and it was a pretty sweet looking setup. So I might get one of their wings, but I have just the default holster for my 365, and it's pretty kick ass. It's a cool, small, minimalist inside the waistband holster that I would definitely say is worth checking out for what that's worth. Yeah.
Well, I've got a couple cool things to talk about whenever you're ready.
Go for it.
I'm gonna scale these in order of
oh geez.
Yeah. Fudness.
Oh, scale of FUD.
Yeah, and let me tell you something, man. We're going all in FUD tonight, okay?
Oh geez.
So I need you sound like Morty there from Rick and Morty.
Oh geez, Rick. Geez. How are we doing?
So let's start with something that I talked about at SHOT Show. I interviewed Charter Arms about, and I had really mixed emotions until I've had a chance to play with it.
9mm Bulldog.
So this is the Double Dog.
The Double Dog.
It's called the Double Dog. So it is a little double action revolver, plain Jane, 5-shot, 357, 38 special.
Okay.
However, it comes from Charter Arms with a second cylinder, and it's a crane and everything. You got one little screw you pull out right here, boom, and it's a 9mm cylinder.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So you can shoot 9mm and 380 out of it, I believe.
Stupid question. How many shots? Still 5?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it makes sense because I would feel like if you change the cylinder out, you can't change the timing to make it 6 shots then. So.
Right. I mean, it's this is Ruger SP-101 size. But it's
got nothing to me, but
it's a snubby. It's okay. A small little snubby. And it's got some areas here where it's been relieved to take a little weight off. I don't know the stats of it right now. I just got it in the other day. I've shot it a little bit. I've been carrying it the past couple days. And to show you how FUD, just straight FUD, I've gone, this is what I'm carrying in it. No.
And describe what the hell is it.
This is not an empty 38 special shell. This is a double tap 158 grain lead wad cutter.
So like the gun having the two cylinders, one being 33.7, the other one 9, that's not like terribly funny. But as soon as you go with that cartridge right there, now we're pushing wad cutters. It's the premium option to go for FUDs.
But you know, I heard from a couple old timers that the 158 grain wad cutter at about 600 to 700 feet a second was pretty damn devastating out of a revolver, and a little light snubby, you can get 5 shots of that off before you could get 2 off in 357.
Right. Well, and you said that was from Double Tap, which they make pretty spicy shit anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. These are they're not overly spicy, but they're toward a higher end of 38 special.
Okay. With that cartridge like that, the way it's like all case wall, like
you didn't really
describe it too much. You just said semi wad cutter.
Or no, this is a full wad cutter.
Oh, full wad. Okay. Full wad cutter. You know, is that characteristic of the wad cutter? The case going all the way up to the.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
semi wad cutter for like 45s.
So these, you know, the bullet is a cylinder and it's loaded flat with the case mouth. And that's I've got some from Defender. Defender makes a 148 that is jacket. I don't know if it's jacketed or plated.
Okay, my next question on this one, from just not understanding it, is that then actually a longer case?
Nope.
It's still a regular 30 special case.
Yep. They just use a faster burning powder because you lose a lot of case capacity because the whole bullet takes up. So they just use a faster burning powder to get that velocity.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Which works out good with a snubby because the faster burning powder, you're going to get your velocity up quicker than you would a slower burning powder.
Maybe because it's so that is your whole setup there is so foreign to me. I give that like a FUD level of like a 1. It's not that bad. I think that's interesting.
It's fuddy duddy pretty bad. Yeah.
So what would you give it then? If I give it a 1, what would you give it?
What is the scale? 1 to what?
Not alone. 1 to 10.
One to 10. Tell me. On FUD, carrying a 38 special wad cutter. 11. 11. You know.
We're working our way. I thought we were going to up the FUD here. We're not starting at FUD.
Oh, well. Okay. How about this?
Is it just getting FUDdier from here?
Well, it's going to be similar to FUDdy, but maybe a little more cool points. You know, this is a cool revolver.
I think it's interesting.
You know, it is interesting. I like the fact that you can swap out the cylinder for 9mm 38, and I think it'll do 380.
Interesting too.
Because Charter Arms, man, is so smart. They don't use moon clips, and they don't machine the cylinder to mimic a semi-auto chamber. On their, and I should have brought the cylinder in here, but I didn't. But on their star wheel adjuster,
right?
Here we go. On their star wheel adjuster, right here,
yep,
is a little tab that's spring loaded, and it catches the extractor groove.
That's pretty cool.
So it's technically head spacing on the case head. Technically head spacing on the extractor groove, but that allows you to load and unload with your star wheel extractor with not having to use moon clips.
You know, I'll be honest. The only thing I really want to see come from Charter Arms is Deckard's pistol from Blade Runner, Harrison Ford from, what was it, 82? That's all I really want to see from Charter. And I told Charter that before, like, make that damn revolver, like, or make the closest facsimile of it as you can, just because people buy it. Like, I understand it's got a Steyr receiver on the top of it, and the cylinder only opened enough, real and truly, to like do about one shell at a time,
right?
But I don't care. Like I said, it had to be a one-to-one copy. Make it look close enough, people would buy the shit out of that thing.
Reckon?
Yeah. I mean, you got to market it carefully because you can't straight up say it's the pistol from Blade Runner, because then Warner Brothers, I'm sure, will be like D-bags and send you a cease and says, you can't say it's our gun, but make it look like it. And, you know,
yeah, okay.
Call Bulldogs, Bulldog, Double Dog, whatever. I mean, like, they can come up with some other, you know, sci-fi dog. I don't care. Just make the damn
Space dog.
So, all right, what's next on the funny list?
Oh, well. I'm going to start over here. Let me ensure that all handguns are – yeah. So I'm going to start over here at the corner of the screen. This one
– oh, shit. This is some Rick from The Walking Dead kind of shit right here.
Look at this.
I know it's a Colt because it's you.
It's a Colt Anaconda.
Oh, Anaconda. Okay.
Anaconda. However, not in 44 Magnum.
Then what is it?
45 Colt.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It is cool.
I mean, it's funny as fuck, but it's kind of cool.
and it's got an 8-inch barrel.
Oh, so that, yeah, Jesus.
I mean, and it's a 6-shooter. You can see it's empty. But
so did you say it's in 45 Colt or 45 Long Colt?
Let me see here. Is this disturbing? I got more damn.
I'm just asking. Would it be Dirty Harry? That's pretty dope looking, actually. Hunter's pointing the whole muzzle at me like he's going to shoot the screen. Actually, looks really cool.
I mean, wow. Is that an 80s barrel? You happy to see me?
That thing is shiny looking too. Holy shit!
So, I called my buddy Rhett. You know, Double Tap sponsors Range Hop up one side, down the other, and
right.
I got to give them a shout. They do solid by me. And it works out because it's good ammo. So when I'm shooting groups or I'm checking for function or anything like that, then it's just taking one of the variables out. I know that Double Tap works and stuff. So if something ain't right, it's either me or the gun.
Yeah.
And truthfully, the better groups that I shot with the High Point 15 were the Double Tap. They did a 68 or 69 grain.
Nice.
So anyway, I was talking to Rhett and I'm like, hey man, you know, I'm getting this 45 Colt, Anaconda from Colt to review. And I know that, you know, the 45 Colt initially started out as a black powder cartridge. I've loaded for it. I've reloaded for it. I've got a Ruger new model Blackhawk, and I'm like, do y'all, you know, 45 Colt as it's sammied is, it's a little more than 45 auto.
Really? It's,
yeah. Yeah. It's,
I still would have thought it was still considerably more, like pushing more 44.
Oh, well,
not so well, much.
It, huh? It, you know, now, I mean, it could, they're generally heavier bullets, but they're more potent than the 45 auto, but not considerably more. And Rhett was like, yeah, you know, we at Double Tap are taking advantage of the stronger receiver guns, such as the Anaconda and the Red Hawk and such in 45 Colt. So,
that's cool.
He sent me a couple boxes of this.
Which is some, what is that, 335 grain?
Hard 45 cap. Colt plus P.
Plus, oh, shit, okay.
Yeah. So let me show you one.
Something a little spicier.
Yeah, he said, he's like, now, these are for modern guns. Don't shoot this out of any, like, even the Vaquero. Definitely not single action. Yeah, no.
There's that much more frame material to the.
Oh yeah.
Skull, huh? That is a big, sweet looking.
I mean,
there.
And look at the meat plat.
You need to post some of that shit like side by side with that and some other cartridges on Instagram, man.
Oh, it's a. I mean, that's a monstrous bastard.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and here again, I'm kind of plugging Double Tap a little bit, but they did this, which is really cool, and I could appreciate it. Man, Dave, I promise you, I had my shit together.
It happens, man.
Here it is.
Supposed to be on last night to tonight. That's partly my bad.
Now this is a standard pressure.
Okay.
This is a standard pressure. This is 160 grain, which is light for the cartridge.
Right.
But it's 160 grain lead-free hollow point.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, look at that thing. In fact, how much you can see that. I mean, most hollow points, I'm used to seeing like 9mm. Where, yeah, you get a little bit of cone in that thing. Like, holy shit.
And they do this similar bullet in 45 auto.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and they do it in
I'd like to see the blitz gel on that thing. Like,
so I'm gonna shoot some gel with it, and they do this bullet in the 450 SMC, which is it's a Double Tap exclusive, man. It is externally identical to the 45 auto.
Okay.
But it is more akin to 10mm.
Okay.
But you got to, you know, like your 45 auto has to be plus P rated.
Or something badass like a USP.
Yeah, probably blow that out of hell.
I bet it would actually handle it.
I'm sure it would.
What was like, that one again? What was it called?
450 SMC.
450 SMC.
And they do a 255 grain hard cast lead bullet and 450 SMC. Double Tap does not fuck around, man.
I have some, but it's only was it from the GOS show many years ago? Because Double Tap's usually in the booth with them selling defensive ammo. And
yeah,
walking by like last day of the show, Rich, your buddy Rich, Rich was there, and I saw they had a handwritten sign that it was like box of 20 was like $10.
Ooh,
and I was like, dude, seriously, it's just $10. And Rich is like, yeah, what are you carrying? I was like, Agent K VP9. He goes, here's some 124s. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, take it. And I was like, what? And he's like, dude, you helped one of my guys out earlier. He goes, it's cool, you can take it. And I was like, all right, thanks, dude. And they came back. I was like, okay, seriously, at $10 a box, I'm going to buy another box. I mean, you gave me a box, but now I'm going to buy a box. I'm like, screw it. I don't think I've shot it. There may have been one time where a magazine got mixed up and I did like burn some off at something.
You would have known it.
Probably. So I'm guessing I probably didn't then.
I mean, it's not.
Yeah, not in this thing, but this is dummy rounds. But yeah, but I carry. It's what's in the Double Tap.
Their stuff is all Sammy, but I can say this: with great confidence. Every one of their rounds that I have shot in ballistics gel has outperformed every other thing that I have tried.
Nice.
Now, the caveat to that is most of what I've shot here is like the Spear Gold Dots, the Hornaday, you know, the what's readily available. No, I haven't tried it against like the Buffalo Boars and all
right,
that.
Right. You're not going out of your way trying to find some random shit. No,
because it's expensive, man. You know, I mean, it's expensive. But I've heard, you know, some of these boutique ammunition manufacturers will toe the Sammy line or perhaps cross it a little bit.
Sure, sure.
And I know Double Tap, I know their stuff. It may approach it, but they're using the correct powders to keep the pressures as low as possible and right. safe.
So you're not going to blow up your shit more.
No, no. I have all confidence in their stuff. But it's not anemic. You know, it's loaded. Their 10 millimeter shit is amazing. So I have all confidence in their ammo. But I have one more thing to show you.
Yeah, go for it. So where do you rate? Hold on, where do you rate that on the FUD scale with that 8-inch Anaconda and 45 Colt?
I would say 7.
You rate that on a 7?
Right. Yeah, because it's got a lot of cool points.
It does have some cool points. I mean, it's an 8-inch Anaconda and some 45 Colt. It's kind of cool and different. It's funny. It falls in the same category as that Charter. Would I buy either of those? No. Can I appreciate them for what they are? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'll tell you. I've been carrying this for about 3 or 4 days now. You know, it's a review. I'm going to carry the gun as part of the review. I've been carrying this for 3 or 4 days now, and it really does carry well. And they sent me these. It's got the wall. It's wearing some walnut stocks. I'm going to call mid-size. They're not tiny.
Okay.
So these are like mid-size, but it's actually pretty damn comfortable to shoot. Now, I haven't shot any hot 357 out of it yet.
Right.
But of the 357 and 38s I've shot, it's shot well.
That's cool.
But here you go, man. I want you to
hold it. What's number 3 in the FUD scale?
Number 3 is one of the coolest guns I've ever got my dick meters on my whole life.
A single action Army. Is that like case hardened too?
That is case hardened. Now, this
was that a Ruger Vaquero?
No, it's a Cimarron. This gun was $149.99.
Yeah, back in 1800s.
Yeah, this is a factory Colt single action, 4 3/4.
So they still make them.
Oh yeah! Oh hell yeah! They still make them.
That is actually pretty cool looking. What's the chamber in?
45 Colt.
Okay, 45 Colt. I thought I can't remember if you said that or not.
Yeah, I didn't, but I've been talking to Camille about getting one, and they don't run them often because they're very expensive to make.
Oh shit! Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're color case hardened. They're not assembled. Colt is kind of a big custom shop anyway. All their guns are hand put together. I've been there. I've fucking seen it like 3 times. But
okay, I'll defend Colt. We get it.
But the single action is assembled by their most senior gunsmiths.
Right.
You know, and a lot of those guys are part-timers. You know, I mean, when I went there and I looked at the guys that were building, these guys were like 70 years old.
I mean, they could probably pick some people up from Ruger or from Cimarron if they needed to.
Yeah, I know what you're doing, but I'm not going to bite. But Camille is
good, man. I'm just saying they know how to put it together too.
Right. But I mean, but here,
I'm the same finish.
Oh no, it ain't going to be. So, you know,
this like glass. I'm sure it's like glass, dude. Cause every new production, snake gun I've handled, the action's been absolutely phenomenal. I imagine that thing is pretty sick too.
And it's got the 4 clicks. So 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's pretty cool.
And I mean, it's. Oh.
Make you famous.
I got this in. And that night, Kenny and I sit here and watched Tombstone, baby.
Nice.
And I've always wanted one. The thing is, they don't run them all the time. And the run last year were 5.5. And Camille's like, man, I can get you a 5.5. And I said, you know, I'll take it. But I really want – I want a 4.75 because the muzzle ends at the ejector rod shroud.
Right. You want that visual look. I do. No, I totally get that. Half the guns I own, there's a visual fit to it that I like. And if it doesn't have that fit, nah, it's okay.
I'll
get something different. I totally get that shit, dude.
You know, so I ordered – I know the guys that own Simply Rugged holsters.
Okay.
So I ordered their sourdough pancake – cross draw. So you can wear it strong side, but you can also wear it cross draw. So order me a cross draw holster with it and a little holiday. Oh man, you know, I mean, why not? I'm gonna carry the damn thing.
Nice.
You know, I mean, I'm not gonna carry this. You know.
Yeah, but, you know Rick Grimes, man.
But right. But, you know, I mean, I feel like if I'm reviewing a handgun, Dave, I should at least carry it for a month.
Sure.
So, you know, anyway.
So you can go to the charter for a little bit, and then you can go to the single action army.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I know for confident I'm going to keep the single action. And I'm probably going to buy that charter, to be honest with you. I'd like it more than I thought I would.
Nice. Dude, that's always cool when you like something more than you think, man. Like, because it's so easy. Well, dude, shit, I still harp on it and come back to the Springfield Echelon.
Right.
When they announced that thing, I was like, whatever. So it's a fucking XD 3.0. Who cares? You know. And then when watching John, you know, Patton Gun Collective, watching his interview or his review of it, talking about how it did shit right, I was like, let me play with it, John. He sent it to me, and I shit you not, since I grabbed it, I was just like, what? I'm like, everything you would do to say a Glock, the way you would mill it out and cut it up and shape it to fit you, this thing does factory stock. So now I totally get not giving a rat's ass about something, and then you get it and you're like, all right, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, when they reached out to me, I interviewed, and I've done work for Charter Arms a long time.
Sure.
And I interviewed them at SHOT about it, and I was like, you know, a 357 Magnum Snubby. Right. Okay. Oh, you know, and it holds a cylinder for 9mm. Okay. I mean, right. That's kind of cool, but
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And I'll be honest with you. I like the revolver as it is. As far as the 9mm cylinder, I don't, you know, I mean, it's
right.
Now, something that I think would probably where this thing would shine is, and they're not very expensive.
And most charters aren't. They're usually pretty affordable guns.
And, you know, you think about it, the two most common handgun cartridges in America is 38 Special and 9mm.
Yeah. If I don't recall this, Hunter, when I first jumped on the MKS, we actually were doing the marketing shit for Charter as well, too.
I remember that. I do remember that.
One of the first things I was doing for them was checking the Charter shipments. From the packing list to the invoice and the guns that showed up. But then not only that, you had to double check from the gun's box to the gun itself.
Make sure the seal number's right, description
on
that.
Yeah. On every single gun, because they were like, MKS kind of had helped them rebrand and bring themselves back from, I don't know, kind of, I guess, falling off the wayside. I don't know. It was never really my area to understand. But to the point where we needed to double check everything that's coming in to make sure everything was in the right boxes, seal numbers, all that shit. And yeah, that was like a multi-hour job just checking all that shit. That was one of the first things I did for MKS was verifying that all the charters were 100% correct. You know, so yeah, no, I'm pretty damn familiar with them. I've taken them apart, pulled firing pins out, all that shit.
Good thing to do a good job. But
they're really simple.
Nina. Yeah, they are simple. But if you were looking for something for your go bag. You know, 357, 38, 9mm. And I mean, I believe it would shoot 380 as well, because it's head spacing off the extractor groove.
I keep thinking about that one though, but 380 is smaller than 9mm.
Not the bullet.
No, but the case though.
Yes.
I don't know if that case is gonna if the cylinder is gonna hold the case of a 380.
Yeah, but remember, it head spaces off the Star Wheel Extractor. There's a little. Do you want me to go get? I can go get the cylinder and show you if that'll help make sense.
No. I get it. I'm just still just thinking. It might give it a shot. Fuck it.
I mean, because
what do you got to lose?
Because it's got a little tab that grabs the extractor groove, and the extractor groove in the 380 and 9mm is about the same place.
Yeah, I'm still just thinking it's still physically smaller, though. That it might be hard. I don't know.
Yeah,
they're not the same.
The diameter?
No, they're not the same. 380 is just a hair smaller than.
Are you talking about the bullet or the?
I'm talking even like the case. They're not the same.
Length or diameter?
I'm talking the diameter.
Are you sure?
You can drop a 380 case into a 9mm.
Right, because it heads space off the case mouth. So it falls through.
Right. But still, that means the ass end is smaller, so it might be really loose in that revolver. Dude, just try it. I don't give a shit. Just try it.
I'm going to grab my load manual real quick.
What do you got to lose?
Damn.
I can grab mine. Oh, here, what do you want? You want Hornady's? You want Lyman?
Yeah. You got a loading manual handy?
Yeah, I got right here. Perfect. Look at that.
Yeah, even better.
I don't. No bullshit. Okay. Just open it up to 30 automatic. What the shit?
Look at you go. So what's the OD at the case head?
Why did I have 37? Oh, I don't have 9mm. That was 38 auto, not 380. But it's just interesting that it landed on
the precursor to the Super 38.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm. The 380 or the 38 Ooh. Auto in the Super 38 is the same external dimensions. But in 1929, Colt upped the pressure to help penetrate the doors of the Model T.
Well, look at that, because the very next page is the 38 Super Automatic. And, yep, dimensions, it's the same damn thing. Ain't that cute and neat?
Yeah, it's almost like I knew what I was talking about.
Almost.
I totally guessed at that.
What the hell's 380 Auto?
It might be under 9mm curves.
Yeah, I thought that, but...
My damn nose is about to itch off. It's been.
Let's just go. Keep talking.
I'm whining about my nose itching. I did a bunch of tree work and I've been digging pine chips out of my nostrils for the past week. And it's nice. Yeah. Well, all I can smell right now is turpentine.
Where the fuck is it at? Reloading step by step. I don't need that. Where's rifle reloading data? Okay, yeah, that's
great. On this episode of David looking confused.
Oh, I'm looking confused? What the fuck, man? I'm just here we go. Handgun reloading.
Oh, well, you're in the right section. No hurry. Everybody's waiting with bated breath. They're going, oh my God, I can't wait till he finds it. Oh, this is gonna be so interesting. All right. Six people.
Okay. Oh, hey, look at that. 380 automatic, 9mm Kurtz. It is right in front of 9mm, which is 793. Jesus. Go this way. 793, 380, and there's 9mm. So I guess diameter's 394. Okay, so I'm looking at the very well. Yeah, look at the ass end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 394 on a 9mm and yep. 374 on a 380.
Ah. Okay.
So that's why I kept saying like
I so 20,000s.
Don't know if it'll like it might lock in, but it may not be very steady. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. Give it a shot. What do you got to lose? It either doesn't stay in or they do, and then you just fire it off and fuck it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, look at that little fun little arguing of 380 and 9mm.
Right.
Now it makes me want to look at what a 30 Super Carry is, because I think it's closer to a 380 in that dimension, but that book's too old to have 30 Super. Well, I could look at what's the French? 32 something French. I don't fucking know. Fuck that shit. Who cares? So here, another thing from goals.
Yeah.
I think I've talked to you about this before. Check this out. Look up at your screen.
Sorry.
Drill index.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so these things are, I've got a bunch of them. So different drills you can do in the card deck. So, like, I've got the man card drill from Achilles Tactical, the bill drill. And I think you'd ask me about talking about FBI qualifications, which this thing has, the FBI quals, in the stack deck. Well, these guys were actually exhibiting at the Gold Show last weekend. And while Joff and I were walking around in the morning, I saw their banner graphic, and I was like, oh, drill index. I was like, cool. Most people weren't in yet because we were in like an hour earlier than the show opened. So a lot of vendors weren't even there yet. Those guys were. And it was funny when Josh was getting our badges put in, he initially had mine that said MKS on it, and then his did too. And when Charlie called it, he's like, dude, needs to say High Point. And he's like, oh, shit, okay. He changed his, not mine. So his says Josh from High Point. Mine said Dave MKS. Of course, you get people scratching heads going, MKS. And I go, High Point. Like, oh, shit, okay. So we go walking up talking about drill index, and I was like, Josh, you should get a set of these. He's like, because I have two. I keep one in my truck that I won and this set that I bought when I first found out about them. And the guy listened. He goes, are you Dave from Kel-Tec? And I kind of chuckled. I went, no, but I'm Dave from High Point. And he's like, dude, hey. He goes, I run the Instagram. I've been messaging with you. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, right on. That's cool. It's like putting face the names, because when I got it and started using it, he actually sent me a tin case he had made up to see if there's some people want to buy or whatever. And so I was like, yeah, I was like, sweet, send me it. So I'll use it and put my card deck in there. But then his guys were talking to me. I guess they're working on like a second edition drill index cards. So there's like, are there any drills you would want to see into it? And I was like, dude, you totally put me on the spot. I'm not going to be able to think of any kind of like specific drill that's not in it when I've only used a fraction of the cards in there anyways. And one of his guys goes, what about using like some shotguns or something like that? And I was like, oh, okay, shotguns. Yeah. I was like, absolutely. Some shotgun drills would be really cool, because I've been running a lot of shotgun lately because it's just fun. I said, and to add to that, I said, anything with shotgun kind of easily translates into lever action, because you're single loading to reload and top off shit. So like, there you go. Come up with some lever action or shotgun drills. But in the end, though, yeah, drill index, man. You should grab this shit. I mean, yeah, most of the drills are all the drills. You can find them online. But the fact that they're literally in a card deck.
I like the idea.
Yeah. I mean,
you can have somebody shuffle that shit out and draw it.
Well, I mean, even if you're when you're shooting content for review and you're just like, I want to do something more than just like shooting it, you know. Look at that. It's just all a big stack of deck of cards of different drills. El Presidente, Fast Drill, BFM Drill, There and Back.
How many cards is it?
Fuck, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't recall. I would say it feels about the size of a deck, like a 52-card deck. Might be a little less next. I think there's a little thicker cards. But and some of them you get like two. You got Reload Drill, and Upside Down, it's two reload two, so it's a whole other drill. So some of them have multiple drills on the cards. I mean, it's cool, man. It's a cool set. I'll make sure I put a link to that in our description of this shit show.
Please,
yeah, man. I think drill index really is a cool thing. And the best part about it, too, is like, I know there's been other drill like card things like this, but they require specific targets from them or whoever they are. Drill index shit, it tells you like 90% of those drills, you just need like a IPSC, USPSA, IDPA target. That's it. So, I mean, you can do it with whatever the hell you want. You don't, it's not super specific or hard to get something figured out and you actually get up and running with this thing.
I mean, you get a piece of cardboard and draw it out with a magic marker.
Same difference. Yeah. I mean, I've been messing with some of those infinity targets, the self-healing.
Yeah. We talked about
targets. Yeah, yeah. You can do the same thing. You use all these same drills on those things too. You know,
they're holding up pretty good for you.
Yeah, so far, I mean, I've put a decent amount of shotgun into them, a fair amount of rifle and pistol. The only problem was last time we took it out, me and my buddy Scott, we were doing this drill from Achilles Tactical. Two reload two is what he called it, or no. 2-4-2 is what it was. So you're at 10 meters, 10 yards, whatever. Fire two rounds, run back to the 15-yard line, fire four rounds, back to the 10-meter line, and fire two rounds. And the whole point is you need to do it like under 6 seconds and use USPSA scoring and you want to get a six hit factor. It's tough. Like, maybe if you're like, you know, a little lighter on your feet than I am, it's tough. My buddy Scott and I tried doing it multiple times and it absolutely kicked our asses. But it was fun. It was really, it's kind of one of those things where, like, yes, there's a shit ton of drills out there. Yes, it's flat range training.
But it's really better than sitting on your square range and isosceles punching holes in paper.
Right. So it's kind of one of those things where, like, if you do it shitty, you know, does it really mean anything? Does it mean you're a bad shooter? No. But it gives you a certain point they're trying to push you to.
Right.
Maybe you physically can't do it. Like my buddy Scott, he's 61 or 62. He flat out can't sprint and run that fast. So he's going to move at his maximum speed to get the best results that he can.
Right.
And I know that's something that Rick would be like, dude, you know, if you can't do this flat out because you physically can't, fine. Then do the best that you can do. And there's your, you know, there's going to be a baseline. So cool kind of drill. And that's something like that. I imagine you might see pop back up in something like a drill next version two.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, we tried recording some footage of it. It didn't turn out very good. That and I jacked up trying to save results. I was using T-Rex Arms has a It's a shooting calculator.
Oh, okay.
So this thing, you can do hit factor calculation by itself. So you just put in your time and your hits. You can build custom drills, which I built this thing in there. Multi-shooter drill. You can build a course of fire. Kind of a lot of the same stuff you can do with the practice score scoring app for USPSA, but this is way more simplified by doing drills. Problem was, I didn't save our results when we were shooting it, and so we started over. It just started writing over everything we just done. Shit. Like, ah, shit, I want to see what our, you know, what our hit factor and shit was, but either way, it's pretty good. Cool little app, and it's free. I think they call it Range Day. Range Day by T-Rex Arms. Cool little app. Like I said, if you want to push the fact and know what hit vector scoring and shit is, use that. If you just want to run drills, obviously just get the drill index and run the drills and be happy.
Well, you know, when it comes to training, I feel like, hey, there is times of standing out, you know, standing in the middle of your square range and punch paper. There are times to run drills. There's times to look for cover and concealment, you know, go take a class. And it's kind of like it's like when you strength train. You know, you don't use the same program for years. You mix it up and go back and forth because it's all, you know, keeping you on your toes, keeping your muscle confusion, and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I can see that certainly as an aid for drill, you know, drills. And there's so much, I mean, even if you didn't want to do it with a live fire, there's so many airsoft guns. You know, I've been thinking about getting into airsoft.
Well, you heard Tony talking last week how he was dry firing or doing practice with airsoft.
Yeah.
You know, and he had, what was it, the other guards. They needed, like, get better qualification in the prison. And he was like, fine. He wouldn't charge him, what was, like, $100 an hour or whatever. And they were like, nope. He goes, all right, fuck you. You know, see ya. But, yeah, airsoft absolutely has validity to it, man.
And there's people to go out and have war games with airsoft.
Oh my god! And those dudes spend as much money on guns and gear as we do.
I know
our shit, and it's awesome. It looks like an absolute blast.
I mean, I've seen them where they got airsoft hand grenades.
Oh, dude! Everything: mortars, hand grenades. I mean, flashbangs, fucking everything.
Can you imagine? You know, having a shoot house and having airsoft.
Dude, go on YouTube and watch some of the guys that do this stuff. There's one out west somewhere. I don't know if it was in Arizona or Nevada. But it was an old, like, old Army or Air Force town that it's basically abandoned. I think they got permission, I think, to go out there and do their airsoft war game. So literally, they have like a neighborhood they're running through, going into the houses, having airsoft firefights. It's like, dude, that shit looks awesome. I think it's Milsom West is a way to find it. I think I don't know much about that shit, but it's definitely cool. It's very cool. If you don't think it's cool, you think it's lame, you're absolutely wrong.
Like, yeah, that, I mean, that would be amazing training. Not to mention the fun factor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would be amazing. Because, you know, the ones I looked at, the handguns and rifles, they cycled. They had recoil. They had, like, you're looking at them, and it looked goddamn identical.
Yeah.
You know, and the action cycled. You had a little bit of recoil. So I feel like that would be pretty good training.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of gas blowback pistols. One's a 2011 and one's a CZ-75.
Are they airsoft?
Yeah, they're airsoft, but they're gas blowbacks. I mean, their recoiling and cycling action is about like a 22 LR, really and truly.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, you've got the whole mass movement of the slide. I use my 2011 one for shooting at squirrels in my backyard to keep getting into my flowers and my
little squirrels.
Oh, I just light those assholes up. Ain't enough to kill them, but it's enough to sting them, chase them off.
All they're doing is they're just
squirrels are urban rats, man.
They're just a little squirrel looking for a nut, man.
No, those assholes are dropping peanut hulls all over my deck and my yard. Little dickheads.
Oh my god. Yeah, you know, and I tell you what, I bet that is just unbelievably crazy. Hard to clean up. Y'all ain't got no broom or nothing. You ain't got no kitchen broom.
When it's all over my coffee table outside and my couch out there, yeah, it's a little annoying.
Your outside coffee table has peanut hulls on it.
Yeah, from squirrels.
And dirt and pollen and leaves and all that shit from nature. You're just out there singling out. Oh, look, here's a pile of leaves with a stick.
I'm bitching about peanut holes in the damn
world. You're just bitching about that one little aspect of the mess.
Because you know what? I could go squirrel hunting tomorrow, okay, and go out in the woods, and there wouldn't be a damn squirrel out there because they're all in the suburbs, all of them, little bastards.
You know, speaking of squirrel hunting, Larry Case is going to podcast with us next Wednesday.
Nice.
Asked him. I said, you know, first, you know, he's a retired game warden.
Yep.
So I'm not going to spoil it, but I said, okay, Larry, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, how long were you a game warden? And tell me about some of the weirdest shit you ever saw as a game warden. And he's like, oh, I got stories for days.
Oh, I bet he does, man.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's cool. I look forward to that.
And he does a lot of gun reviews like I do. So, you know, that'll be interesting. I just dropped something on the floor, or my cat did. Nope. I got it, Buster.
Here's something else that's random I wanted to touch base with you on that was just kind of driving me nuts last couple of weeks. So you use Adobe software, right?
Oh yeah.
Photoshop, Lightroom. And are you using a like purchased version of all of them, or are you all using the Creative Cloud that's the licensed version?
I'm using the Creative Cloud. I used to buy it, but then you can't buy it anymore.
Right, because it's all cloud-based. I know if you're still rocking off older version that you'd buy before.
I have an older – what was the – they did CS5, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember if there was a CS6 or not. Maybe 5 might have been kind of the last one before going Creative Cloud.
I've got a CS5, which is – I got Lightroom, Photoshop, and Premiere on an older computer.
Right.
This CS5 that I bought.
And honestly, it can still do everything you need if you need to go back to that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I'll say the same thing. I'm using the Creative Cloud shit. You know, the full suite through work. I've been using it for years. You know, I've had copies of Photoshop off and on throughout the years anyways. What kills me now, like, occasionally I've used their AI generative tool to expand an image.
Yeah.
What? You're like giggling about it almost.
Well, they do that for Premiere as well.
I've not used it in Premiere at all yet. But yeah. Here's what I'm getting at, though. Is it seems like everybody's offering these free AI tools, and now I notice with Adobe's, I've used Adobe's web-based one, which is their I'm drawing a blank. I just downloaded my phone. What's their AI generating tool called? Firefly. Firefly is their AI generating tool that you can go to, like, command prompt, whatever. But also, obviously, you've seen it's in the software. It's in Photoshop and shit. I noticed the other day, when I was generating something to expand an image, because the way I shot it, I just needed it wider to fit something. And it was like, oh, yeah, this is still free until you get to the point where you need credits. I'm like, oh, my fucking God. Isn't it enough that we're paying a subscription to your service, and now you're tacking on, in video games we call those microtransactions, you're going to start tacking on more ways to charge us shit because the subscription fee we're paying isn't enough to be able to use all this crap all the time?
When it says credits, what does it mean?
Like, you got to buy credits or tokens so you can grab their additional services.
Really? When is that?
I don't know. I haven't seen it pop up in a while again. Because I have a thing where I bought with my subscription, I get X amount of credits for assets because I was grabbing some different assets for work, but they accumulate. So if it works with that, fine, whatever. That means you probably have some too, I think.
I don't know.
But at the same time, is if you use all those up and you need a generator to fill an image out wider, you might get to the point and go, you're out of credits. Give us more money so you can then fill in this graphic. And it's just like, again, if you're on a subscription model, fine. I don't have a problem with Creative Cloud. It runs great. But the fact you're tacking on more charges to Creative Cloud service to what I'm already paying, it's bullshit.
Well, if they go and do that, then just do the Canvas expansion and clone it.
Which, that's the old way of doing it, but the AO one is pretty dope, man.
Yeah.
It works so well. I mean,
and I'm sure it's an amazing time saver.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't know. It just kills me that you're putting in more transactions of shit that you're
already getting. They're trying to make that money.
Right. They're nickel and dime us all to death.
Well, I mean, everything's gotten so damn expensive now. You know, it ain't even funny, but.
No.
I think it's getting better. You know, my grocery bill is better than it was. Diesel fuel is starting to come down. That's helping. So I'm seeing some stuff trickling down enough to where I'm noticing it. That makes any sense.
Dude, I'm just hoping the fact that school started here, so that means everywhere, everybody will be in school within a couple of weeks. That means we see the gun industry picks back up.
Yeah. I heard it's slumping.
I mean, some people call it a Trump slump. It's not that. It's an economic disaster. And having Trump in doesn't help matters either.
I think with Trump in, people aren't really worried about their gun rights.
No, they're complacent like they were last time.
You know, he just hammered like Bank of America talking about writing an executive order where banks cannot stop doing business with people that are in the gun world.
That's cool. I haven't heard that. That's actually badass.
Yeah, there's a lot of bank. If you owned a gun store, your bank would drop you.
Right.
Well, Trump's you as long as what they're doing is legal, you can't discriminate against your customers like that.
That's cool. That's shit. The kind of legislation, the comments, or the words that we need to hear from our president like that. That's kick ass.
So I think he's doing a pretty good job. Is he perfect? No, but who is?
Who is? Yeah.
You know, I feel like based off the choices we had, he was by far our best option. And I'm proud of him. I think he's kicking ass and taking names. He's got that summit in Alaska, Monday?
Oh, I don't know. I've not been.
Yeah, he's got a summit in Alaska. I think Monday. He's going to hold Putin's feet to the fire. He said, we're done with this war shit. You and Ukraine go kiss and make up.
I saw some bit with that where Zelensky was already stripped saying he wanted like $75 trillion before he even – would set foot and meet with the two of them. Get fucked, you little weasel.
Well, Zelensky was the one that got kicked out of White House.
I know, he's a piece of shit.
And how many billions of dollars did we give him already?
Too damn much. It sure as hell didn't go to his people.
Right.
I'm sure.
You know, they were talking about having to subsidize the retirements of their politicians in the Ukraine.
Fucking whatever. The people of both countries, it sucks for both of them.
It
both
does.
Both their governments are complete pieces of shit.
I would agree with that.
That's all there is to it.
I hate to see them at war. I hate to see anybody get hurt or killed, man. You know, I hope they can get a handle on it. If anybody can get a handle on it, it'll be Trump.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Say a couple of things I saw that were interesting and new today. I saw Palmetto State Armory. Is doing a PSA.
Yeah, okay.
PSA is doing an M14.
What?
Yeah, I think they're doing like limited runs of them. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick here next. That's where I saw it. Yeah, oh shit, here it is. Let me share my screen if you want. I was like, that's kind of interesting because, I mean, yeah, Springfield has always made theirs. I think there's another outfit that makes. I'm drawing a blank now, but I think there's somebody else that does make an M1A. I'm going to call it that. Whatever you're going to call it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Here. Bam.
Damn.
Oh, shit.
Look at there.
I mean, cool, I guess. I don't know. Give a shit. I don't know.
Yeah. It looks good. What? Any idea what MSRP is going to be?
I don't think it says anything in here. Oh, yeah. It's technically coming from the H&R since they bought H&R a couple years ago. It's still PSA. Yeah. Return of the Legend. You've been wishing, waiting. Pronounce is happening. It's being limited run and limited edition. More info coming soon. So now I didn't say shit. So I was like, okay. But then also then I saw this one too. The PSA 18. So this is like a Mark 18, I'm assuming. It's like, okay. So it's
that's a
specific AR M4 setup. Like, okay.
Cool. Yeah, that's old school.
Same time. Like, that's funny. This style actually is retro now. Kind of sad to think that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just interesting stuff.
I like the M1A. I'm a big M1A fan.
Look at my shocked face.
Your cousin there, if you remember Sean Thompson, you remember him?
Sean Thompson.
He wrote for Loose Rounds for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. God, what happened to him?
I don't know. He hated an M1A bad. He did. He hated him. God almighty. He hated him. I mean, just, woof. I'm like, all right, I get you. Dial it back. I don't know whatever happened to him, man. I don't know. I mean, he was a nice guy. I met him a handful of times. Say again?
He was a nice dude.
But
Loose Rounds, his website is, nope, this is not Loose Rounds. Take your gun knowledge to the next level. I don't think this is him. His blog, maybe it is.
I don't know what happened.
This cannot be the same thing. This looks, no, this is not the same thing.
I'm still doing it, man.
I'm thinking somebody, looks like somebody else has bought that domain name because this is not the same outfit. Here, I guess I can share the screen.
He had a partner. Him and some other cat were partners.
Yeah, but no, this doesn't even look like the old site. Hang on, let me kill this one.
I don't know. I just, when you showed that, it made me think of him. Him and old boy up there in, I think, West Virginia, Tug Valley Armament. Remember they did the, he did a bunch of lead ammo?
Vaguely.
Yeah, that don't even look like them anymore.
No, but it's looserounds.com, which I'm pretty sure that was his.
It was.
Okay, so somebody else, because then I scrolled further and hit this. Was there you go, Loose Rounds team. So.
I don't have no idea who those folks are.
Yeah, I don't either. Not Sean, that's for sure.
No.
Interesting.
Well, don't know what happened to him. I ain't seen him at any of the trade shows.
Oh, yeah, I've not heard from him forever. Well, I thought he had something wrong with him, didn't he? I don't know. Maybe he did.
He had some health problems, bless his heart. I don't remember what all it was, but, you know, he was eat up like the rest of us.
Oh, yeah.
Not as bad as you, I'm sure. But, I mean, who is? Fucking weirdo.
Well, here's another bit to touch on. Aliens, you know, Sigourney Weaver.
Not ringing a bell.
You're not funny.
Was it like a sci-fi movie back in the, what was it, in the 90s? Sigourney Weaver was a space prostitute, and it was her and Barf that were riding around in a Winnebago, right?
Oh, my God.
And she got space herpes. Hello, my darling. Hello. Yeah, I remember.
That was Spaceballs. Yeah, that was Spaceballs.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
And side trivia, you know, the guy that shouted, "We ain't found shit."
We ain't found shit.
But more importantly, that guy was actually Tuvok from Star Trek Voyager. I didn't realize that. What's that?
That said, "We ain't found shit."
Yeah, the guy that literally said, "We ain't found shit."
Is he a white fella or black fella?
Black guy.
And he's a Vulcan?
Yeah, in Voyager, yeah.
They got black Vulcans?
Yes, they have black Vulcans.
I'll be damn. I mean, okay.
But I saw that. I don't know, a clip of him. Tim Russ is his name. That's it. It was Tim Russ, and I've seen some other funny videos of him talking about Star Wars. It's coming from him because he's a Star Trek guy, and it's pretty hilarious because he says shit all wrong, about like you just did with Alien.
Yeah, I was trying to be
ugly. But I thought it was that same clip coming up again, and he goes, you know, you may not know this, but yeah, for many years, I was on a show called Star Trek. And he goes, and it was quite a well-received show. People were very well known for it. But unfortunately, all I'm known for is this parody movie and saying the line, while I'm in sand, we ain't found shit. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that's him. That's Tim Russ and Spaceballs. Holy shit. So that's Tuvok. Tuvok says, we ain't found shit.
I'll be damned.
But no, Alien, yeah.
Alien. Or Alien or Aliens?
Well, Alien was the first one.
Yeah. Huh?
Aliens was the second one. Then what? Alien 3, Alien Resurrection.
Well, which one were you talking about?
None of them.
Oh.
I'm getting your mind, you know, I know how you are. I got to get you spinning up on thinking about the Alien.
Well, I'm nauseous.
All right. Do you still have, like, cable TV to some degree, satellite, something like that?
I do got satellite, but I also have an Amazon Fire Stick. And I got HBO.
All right. Well, remember FX? Do you still have access to FX?
I don't know. FX. Maybe, probably.
Or do you have Hulu?
I don't have Hulu anymore.
Okay, damn. Because FX and Hulu, they're now doing an Alien series.
Yeah, my buddy was telling me about that and said it was pretty. He said he watched the first couple, and they were good.
They dropped the first two on Tuesday. I've watched the first, just the first one. I had time to watch the second one. For a humongous Alien fan, first episode, pretty damn cool. Like, it's shot well. It looks really good. It feels like it's right out of the Aliens universe. But something I want to hit on with you that I think you would just relate to the gun side of it is when the last big trailer dropped a couple months ago for it, Alien fans are freaking the fuck out. Because let me back up. This show, Alien Earth, takes place 2 years before the first Alien movie. Okay? So it's got a lot of people worried about it.
Retconning. Not even the prequels.
Prometheus and Covenant. Yeah, it takes place after those, but it takes place right before Alien, like 2 years before Alien.
All right.
So it's like, fine, whatever. I don't care. You know, we can't control this shit. Let them do what they want. But in this trailer video, though, you see in the background a guy holding a pulse rifle from Aliens, James Cameron's Aliens, which is obviously one of the greatest sci-fi guns ever known to man. Right? Yay, nay, don't give a shit.
The 40-watt...
No, you're confused with Terminator. I'd smack you in your mouth if I was right there. I really would. I'd just fucking smack you.
Pulse rifle in the 40-watt range.
Yeah, 40-watt range is a phase plasma rifle. The 40-watt range in Terminator.
The 9mm Uzi. That's
built my Westinghouse to just stop it. Good God. The M41A pulse rifle. Do you know what that gun really was? Do you remember?
I remember in the movie, yeah. They were fucking them up with them.
Okay, it was a Tommy gun.
Oh,
with an 870 underneath of it, but then had SPAS 12 gauge parts around a shroud around the 870 to mock up look badass.
Oh wow!
So, but now mind you, you're getting deep nerdy here. Alien to Aliens, there's a 57 year time gap.
Right.
Okay.
No, so, I mean
shut up.
So, I mean, I don't fucking know, but sure.
So now in this trailer preview though, you see a pulse rifle in the background. And fans are freaking out. I can't believe there's a pulse rifle in the background of the video because it's 57 years we've seen the Colonial Marines using it. And I was like, whatever. As long as the show's good, I don't give a shit. But in the foreground, you see the guy carrying a mocked up pulse rifle, but you can tell it's actually a Chris Vector. I was like, okay, it's kind of cool. Vector's a cool looking gun. Makes for good mock up for sci-fi guns. Well, in the first episode, at least, they're carrying around very pulse rifle-ish looking guns. And I kept watching it. I'm like, dude, those are AUGs. You can just style your AUG as the pulse rifle for this. I'm like, that's kind of cool. But still given the big, thick, bulky carry handle. I was like, all right, it looks cool. And I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, if the actual pulse rifle, like the Tommy gun style pulse rifle, shows up in this show and the fans bitch about it, I kind of want to be like, one, you're being retarded because you're bitching about a fictional show that means nothing. Like, just take it for the enjoyment. But if you want to cry and complain about the logistics of it all, how long has the M16 been in service with the United States military?
When you were saying that, I was like, you know, there's still units right now carrying 1911.
I looked at it. It's like 61 or 62 years on the M16 in particular.
Right.
Like, and really? let's go more basic. The AR-15 platform. It's not going away. It's that fucking good.
Right.
So it's like, if the pulse rifle that we all know and love from Aliens is being seen used 57 years earlier, who gives a shit?
Maybe it was just
the gun's cool. It's just that good. When shit's that good, you just keep it. You
know? Right. Like an AR.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought you could enjoy some logic in that thinking.
So what you're telling me is there might be a couple FUD alien Marines out there be like, you know what? I'm keeping my old pulse rifle. I don't want that newfangled bullshit. Yeah. That's how I feel.
That's something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like that's how it is. I don't know. I'm spitballing. I'm thinking.
Okay.
You know.
Well, if you get a chance, if you have access to FX through however you have TV, it's worth checking out Alien Earth. Like I said, I've only watched the first episode. The second one's out there as well. And the next episode drops, I think, Tuesday. Well, so either way, I'll be giving you another report on it next week on it because I'll be watching it because, you know.
Well, this probably ain't going to make you too happy. So Candy and I watched Alien Covenant again this weekend.
Okay.
Dude,
don't get me wrong. The first two are the most awesome ones ever, period, flat out. The sequels, they're not as good, and I can tear most of them apart. But you know what? I still enjoy watching them.
Here's what rubbed me the wrong way.
Sure.
So, you know, they're cruising along. They hit that storm, fucks up the sail.
Yep.
And then Whistle Dick is cruising back, and his helmet goes fuzzy, and he hears John Denver.
Yep.
And then, out of nowhere, the perfect planet. Okay. Yep. As Admiral Akbar said, that's a trap.
It's a trap.
I mean, Ray Charles could have saw that.
Correct.
And even the dark-haired girl pointed it out. Anyway.
Yep. No, yep.
You got to check it out. So, you know.
It's not bad to check it out.
Okay, right. I get it. You got to check it out. So they cruise down there. When they don't have on no spacesuit, no fucking headgear. Just
no PPE or anything whatsoever.
Knee deep in the water.
Yeah.
Old girl is under the ship fucking with the water. It's splashing on her. You know, and I'm thinking to myself,
how fucking stupid is this?
I'm like, come on, y'all. I mean, why? I know it's got oxygen, we can breathe, but it's a completely alien world, hundreds of light years away from Earth. You know, I mean, 100%. A modicum of caution.
And think about it. Everything that happened to them was all because they didn't take Ian's precautions.
Right.
Everything.
I don't know. I just thought, and old girl was like, the other chick was going to experiment with the water. The first dude that got the alien in his ear, remember? He stepped on the spores while he's smoking a cigarette and throwing the butt out.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking at it. The first time I watched it, I thought it was stupid, but I was overlooking it because I'm like, okay, they're going to explain this.
That's right. Same for me. The first time I watched it, I wasn't upset about any of it. I was just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Going with it.
They're going to explain it. You know, they're going to, this is going to,
what the fuck?
And I thought, man, y'all deserve it. Y'all deserve it. But because you can bet your ass, if I was on that ship and they're like, okay, let's go check it out. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to wear a spacesuit on top of my spacesuit.
Right.
You understand? And they're just cruising in the woods, you know, and I'm like, there could be this could be where venomous fucking Bigfoot lives.
Dude, they completely just left logic up in space, like flat out.
Right.
Never mind the fact that Europeans coming to the New World and bringing the diseases that we have, killing off Native American populace. You don't ever think that wouldn't happen. No, it's a planet that has oxygen. All is good.
Well, then we're nowhere. Right. And it started when old boy stepped on those spores. If he'd have had a space helmet on, you know, it'd have hit. Well, I mean, it wouldn't have went in his ear, and all that shit would have. I thought, man.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. You know,
Prometheus is just as bad before it. It does the same dumb logical shit.
Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, Prometheus, the guy that had the map drones, gets lost in the tunnels when he had the map drones. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it was just bad writing, both of them. Just bad fucking writing, man.
Yeah, I would say I probably liked Aliens better than Alien.
That's fine. It depends on the day for me, if you ask me.
Except in Alien, at the end, you got to see Sigourney Weaver in her panties.
I knew you were going to say that.
My goodness. Make a freight train take a dirt road. You heard? But anyhow, I liked the Alien 2. I liked it because it had the Space Marines in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were just... It kind of reminded me a little bit of Event Horizon.
You mean the other way around, but okay.
Well,
Aliens is 86, Event Horizon is like 97.
Right. But what I'm saying is,
I got you.
You know, when I watch Event Horizon, it reminds me of Aliens, or when I watch Aliens, they're like very, the space. My point is, I can appreciate the fact that these fictional space marines are staying pretty consistent.
Right.
They're sarcastic. They're kind of assholes. Right. You know, I mean, game over, man. Game over, you know. But.
Well, I've talked about how, like, the quality of movies from, like, the 80s and even the 90s, even early 2000s, it's not there currently. Like, it's fucking terrible. And man, Alien Covenant and Prometheus are both examples of that. The writing. There's some good shit to them. There's some good, like, Alien Covenant is still really well directed. My favorite scene in the whole movie is when the chick gets the dude back after he got the shit in his ear, and he has the back burster and the whole med lab
scene.
That whole scene, all that is fucking great. And in fact, the girl blasted the damn alien like near the shotgun. You know, all that. That whole scene, fucking cool as shit. The music is on point. The cinematography, all of it is on point. But the movie as a whole, it's fucking stupid.
All they would have had to done is the alien could have had some fucking... you know, sharp ass teeth, and just gnawed a hole in the side of his space suit and crawled up his fucking leg, and it could have had the same shit happen.
Right.
But it'd be more sound. I went and watched I don't go to movies like to That's the fine. Theater.
That's fine. I still do go quite a bit.
I don't know, man. It's just, it's a lot of folks in a big room with one or two exits. Just, you know, I don't like it. But anyway, a good friend of mine. Oh yeah, no, I'm with you. Took me to go see Weapons. It's a horror.
Don't talk about it. I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
All right.
Yeah, don't say anything. We'll reconvene next week on it.
All right, I won't say nothing.
We're watching it tomorrow.
All right, I won't say nothing.
All right.
I
will say, with Alien, you rewatched Covenant. It's fine. Like I said, I still enjoy it. I'll still watch it.
I mean, it was, you know,
it's just dumb compared to the earlier ones. It's dumb. Like the logic in it is so bad. I mean, everybody does their role. Everybody's good in it. I mean, I like all the actors that are in it. The roles they do, they're all great. But the logic in the movie is just so fucking bad.
It's the difference between the original thing, not the original thing, but the John Carpenter's thing versus the remake.
Well, it was a prequel, not a remake.
Was it a? I thought it was a. Prequel. Was that a prequel?
It's a prequel. It's a prequel, and I actually have appreciation for what they're trying to do.
I liked it, but it wasn't as good as
No, it was nowhere near as good as Carpenter's. Nowhere near, like miles afar from Carpenter's, and that's kind of where Covenant is. But I'm saying
because at the end, the dog is running.
Yeah, it syncs up to the original.
That's right. You're exactly right.
I would say. The most current Alien movie, Romulus.
I don't know that I've seen that yet.
You probably haven't. Give it a watch. It's so fucked up. Alien Romulus takes place between Alien and Aliens.
All right.
Does it really have much bearing on the story?
She's still in hypersleep.
Yeah. I can't say it doesn't have really much bearing on the fact that it's in between the two, but it does. There's some, I'll say, I think some far-fetched dumb shit with it, but overall, the entire team that made the movie did a really good job. The things I don't like about it, I pretty much let go, and it's a much more enjoyable film, I feel like, than Covenant or Prometheus.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
We'll check it out this weekend.
Yeah, it's worth watching. You're not gonna love it by any means. I know you won't love it. Like when my buddy and I, it was my buddy and I and his oldest son, we went and watched it, and he and I both were like, "Yeah, like that was cool. Way better than Covenant. Way better than Prometheus. That was cool." And his son was like, "Well, his son was like, dude, that was fucking great, fucking great." I was like, "I wouldn't go that far, man." I'm like, "But it was cool." Well, then I asked Mason if he wanted to watch it. He was like, "Yeah." So we caught it a couple weeks later. So my second viewing. So now it'll be a little more.
Theaters now or?
No. It's you can rent it online. Okay. I have it on disc back there. But I took my son to go, because it came out last summer. It's last August, actually.
Okay.
So I took my son to go see it like Labor Day weekend. And he'd seen the original re-release in theaters with me. So he's seen the first one. He's seen the second one several times. I don't know, about 3 and 4. Doesn't matter. Seen the AVP films. Doesn't really matter. So he watches Romulus. And by the end of it, how was it? And he's like, "That was awesome. That was so good." And I was like, "Really?" He goes, "Don't you think so?" And I was like, "I like it, Mace. It's cool. You know, it doesn't hold a candle to the first two, but it's cool. And I appreciate all the effort that was put into it to make it what it was." I was like, "I do like it a lot for that sense." And he was like, "Dad, it was so awesome, though." So then once it dropped on disc, I picked it up. I was like, "Dude, you want to watch Romulus again?" He was like, "Yeah." He sat and watched the whole thing. He's like, "Yeah, it's so awesome." I was like, all right, cool. So give Romulus a watch. It's worth your time.
I'll check it out over the weekend. Candy and I, the other day, it was a couple months ago, there was fuck all on TV. So we just watched Alien and then Aliens, like made a Saturday night out of it. Watched both of them back to back, you know.
Nice. That's awesome.
And
it's so good. Both of them are so good.
And Candy was like, and Candy made the statement, you know, and I'm not going to get political. Candy made the statement, you know, they say that men will not put up with a female heroine in the movie. But look, but I mean, like, you know, there's all these movies out now that fucking flopped.
Yeah, with these 100-pound girls throwing around 6-foot dudes weigh 250 right. pounds like it's nothing. Bullshit.
Right. You know, we started when Rings of Power come out, the continuation of Lord of the Rings.
Yep. Yeah.
It started and pretty quick in there, this little petite 100-pound blonde girl with a little short sword fucking kills like 6 Vikings. Like big Conan. Slays him. And without even, you know, breaking a nail and Candy's like, "Nope."
Yeah. And Woke Hollywood says we have a problem with that. Yeah, I'm sorry. We've always had Ellen Ripley and Sarah Connor as kick-ass heroines. And let alone you want to add Princess Leia into that too, because she was a badass too.
Sure. And, you know, even
fuck off Hollywood.
I'm going to say even, you know, these movies weren't my cup of tea, but they were well done. The Tomb Raider with
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, you know, I watched those, and it was a very Indiana Jones like movie, but it was more of a comic book. Like you had to suspend a lot of disbelief, but it wasn't bad.
No, the original games were the exact same way. It literally was a British female big boobed Indiana Jones, but with a little more sci-fi elements. You know, that was it. It was great. And those movies were fun. Both of those were fun flicks worth watching.
And I mean, Sarah, now I'm going to tell you this. I watched the Terminator Dark Fate.
Oh, God.
You didn't like it?
No, it's fucking good. Okay. Go ahead.
I really, really liked it, man. I mean, the young chick in it got on my nerves. But Sarah Connor was in it.
I know. I've seen it.
And I still would drink her bathwater.
Oh, God. Stop it. Okay.
She's such a fucking timeless badass.
So you're holding on to that nostalgia, which I get that. And that was cool. Linda Hamilton. I didn't say shit about the movie yet. I just grumbled. So here's the thing. Dark Fate. First off, it's pulling like the Halloween 2018 sequel, what retcons everything else. Terminator Dark Fate is the Terminator 3. Okay, fine. Whatever. Give it a shot. I like Terminator Genesis. It's not very good. I still enjoy it.
I liked it.
Jill Courtney was a terrible Kyle Reese in it, but the rest of the movie was cool. I liked it. Action scenes got a little too big, a little more superhero-ish action, which kind of gets old. So they need to tone it down a little bit. And Dark Fate?
When it gets too over the top, That's yeah.
It does. And Genesis got way too over the top.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
So Dark Fate. Dark Fate got too over the top as well. But Dark Fate's visual style, its score, all of it had the mood on point. It was like, oh, this is a serious Terminator movie again. Okay, that's cool. But the fact the story was a half-ass retread, instead of Skynet, now it's Legion. Like the unit, the Rev 9, he looked badass. I liked that he was a black endoskeleton, but he also was liquid metal and he could separate in two.
Yeah.
That was cool. But their logic and the story of how Arnold's T-800 was getting coordinates from the future and the past and could send to Sarcona was fucking dumb. And the fact that she was effortlessly killing Terminators apparently for years on end while hiding from the government.
Yeah, but she probably got pretty good at it.
Now, I like the new chick from the future, that she was enhanced. That was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I can say this is fresh because I caught it on TV and I was at Goals. I came home from eating and drinking and it was on, so I watched better majority of it. But how about let's not ignore the fact that they killed John Connor in the beginning of the
fight. Right at the beginning. He comes out of the
stupid.
And he comes out of the, like, what, did he come out of the ocean?
No, he just came, like, walk around from around the corner as they're hiding in Mexico somewhere.
Yeah, and he just machine guns.
Stupid. A little shotgun. He had, like, a Serbu, a little super shorty.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking right.
Stupid, though.
We saw it probably.
You just killed the hero of the franchise the first 5 minutes. What the fuck movie?
Yeah. Like, no, but, well, I enjoyed the movie, and maybe it's because of the nostalgia for me.
Don't get me wrong. Like Aliens, man. I'm a fan of all of them. Like, I own it. It's back there in that case. I think I bought it used for, like, $3 because that's what it was worth. You know? So I'll still give it a watch from time to time, but
it's hard. I think it's hard, Dave, to make a movie and then make a sequel that is equal to it.
Yes, I'll agree with that 100%.
Guardians of the Galaxy come pretty close.
Some say that's even better than the first one.
Mm.
I'd say it's about as good. There's some out there, but it's also in taste of it all too. Like, I like all the John Wick movies. All of them. They're all
fun. You know, man, I don't. I tried. I don't like them.
I think they're absolutely a blast. They're fun.
Keanu Reeves loves them. And
they're fun flicks.
The latest one that come out, John Wick was 9. Somebody stole his spare tire off his Winnebago and he fucking. But it, you know, I was watching it. Chad's like, why don't you come over? The new John Wick is on whatever it was released on streaming first. He's like, the new John Wick is on Prime. I've got it on Prime or whatever. And I was like, come over and watch it with me. I'm like, I don't, but all right. And I remember, like, right at the beginning, it was so, much over the top, even more so than, like, Sin City.
Those were cool movies too.
I love Sin City, but you go into that knowing it's a dark novel. Right. You know that it's fantasy.
And you should be going to John Wick 4 in the same regard, knowing that it's not a real serious action flick.
Yeah. It's evolved
into this something else. Because the wife and I went and saw the ballerina spinoff. It was damn entertaining. Enjoyed the shit out of it. Yeah, the big thing people I know hated about the last couple of John Wicks was all the bulletproof suits. So everybody's got no suit coats to block shots.
Oh, yeah.
Ballerina doesn't do that because she's not the same level as him. And I don't think the only person that had a bulletproof suit was John Wick when he showed up in it. Yeah, you know, so people get shot in the knees and shot in the elbows and taken out, and Ballerina is cool. It's worth watching. If you like the John Wick films.
I don't.
If you don't like them, then don't bother.
Like, what was that one? There was a movie that I loved, and it's so stupid. It was a Bruce Willis movie, and it was called it was like set in Prohibition days, and he's like in Mexico. You know what I'm talking about?
The Last Man Standing.
The Last Man Standing. Yes.
Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy it. I have the score over there. I enjoy that film. It's a terrible movie.
Can't
fuck.
I love it. I love it. You know, so
but you can like bad movies. I like plenty of bad movies.
I can't find those 87 round flush fit 1911 mags nowhere. But
oh my god, yeah.
I put it on. You know, Candy's like, oh, I can't find it on TV, and it was like on. Like I got like HBO and Max, and I got a bunch of them channels on my Fire Stick, and we're searching. I'm like, you like Bruce Willis? And she's like, oh yeah, Die Hard. Like we watch Die Hard every Christmas. I'm like, you like Bruce Willis, baby? She's like, love Bruce Willis. I'm like, here's one Fishing Time. Oh, let's watch it. About 30 minutes into it, she turns and she said, look, you can watch the rest of this if you want to, but if you don't turn it, I'm going to bed. And I said, well, you can't cut it off now, baby. He ain't killed nobody hardly. And so she went to bed, and I watched it for about the 80th time. And when I got done, I sat here, and I was reflecting, and I said, you know, it's a fucking awful movie.
Awful.
It is so awful. It's got Christopher Walken in it, though.
Yes, he's great.
You know, and he starts mowing those folks down with a Tommy gun, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I the gunplay, it's cool. I like the movie. I mean,
but and he's carrying two 1911s.
Yep.
You know, and he just fucking, I mean, but, yeah.
Oh, you know, I saw it in theaters, dude.
Wow.
And it was like, I remember walking out. It was me, my dad, and a buddy. I remember asking my dad, and he was like, that was fucking terrible. And I was like, I liked it. Like, it wasn't good. I liked it.
Yeah, you know, there's bad movies that I enjoy watching. Right. You know, Candy and I, the other night, we watched Slave Girls from Infinity X or something. You know, and it was one of those B-rated horror movies.
Shocker there.
You know, there's a thousand. Slave Girls from the Infinity Beyond or something, man. And, what was the lady that, one of those movies, it had fucking Gene Simmons' wife, the really good looking blonde. Would, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I kind of
think she was in one of, not that movie, but one of those movies. But man, you know, it was like these amazingly gorgeous Amazon women. And they like to touch each other. So
Hunter's like, yeah. Like, oh, Shannon Tweed. Oh, God. Shannon, yeah. Shannon Tweed. Yeah. She's in all kinds of softcore porn movies.
Wow.
That had some degree of plot.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and that's what it was. It was a lot of girl on girl on girl on girl on girl, you know. And
I totally forgot that was his wife.
There were some slave girls in there that were tied up and.
Oh my god!
And I was like, you know, this is very
an actress that I forgot even existed.
It was very informative. I think
I'm sure it was
very informative. Oh, I don't know. I mean, sometimes we put shit on the background and just drink, play cards.
Sure.
And every now and again, I look up and there'll be a massive set of knockers on the screen, and I'm like, all right.
I was like, all right, yeah, all right.
Yeah. And Kenny's like. There's two real knockers right here that you can see anytime you want. Why do you got it? And I'm like, they're different. I mean, not really. They look the same, but they're different.
They're different, yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't help it, baby. I love Candy's knockers, don't get me wrong, but I like to see other ones. You know, so I like the Great Biggins too, man. I mean to tell you. My cousin, you don't know my cousin, God Almighty. He was dating this girl, and she was a bigger woman.
Oh, Jesus.
And she had some damn oxygen acetylene, you know, warheads. And I met her. She was real sweet. Bless her heart. And Butch said, her boobies are so big, I can put my face between them, and I can stick her nipples in my ear. And I was like, you, bro. That's fine. And he was proud of that. So.
I don't know how to recover from that.
I don't know that you got to, man. Just just roll that around in your brain for a little bit and imagine.
Let's just roll that around with and say, Hunter, where can people find you, buddy?
Rangehot.com. The internet's premier guide to gun reviews and softcore porn.
Okay.
Yeah, you understand I'm being humorous. Hubris? Is it hubris?
I don't know. You tell me, man. Which is it?
It's just Range Hot Gun Reviews, then. How about that? We'll be honest here at the end.
Okay. And if you want to find me, it's livefire-media.com. Well, this was interesting, man. So, yeah, until next time.
The ground. And I got a good movie selection for this weekend, so appreciate that.
All right. And like I said, I'll make a note here. We'll talk about weapons next week.
All right. Yeah.
Say bye, Hunter.
Bye, Hunter.
Later, man.